Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Tamar Jacoby is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. She's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is our immigration expert in the Brain Trust. She's everybody's immigration expert. She is the author of Reinventing the Melting Pot. She is also, I should say, the editor of that outstanding publication. And she is also senior editor at the Manhattan Institute, and she's our good friend. Tamar, welcome back and Happy New Year.
Great to be here. Happy New Year to you, too.
It's good to have you back. Tamar, as I look at the new makeup of the of our National Congress, Senate and the House of Representatives, you know, I used to talk about Republicans and Democrats, but now I just call it the 110th Congress because, as an old professor of mine many, many decades ago used to say, I mean, he said this back in the 60s, there's not a nickel's worth of difference in any of them, and I didn't know what he meant back then, but now I think I'm starting to see that. What do you think?
Well, you know, we'll see what they do. There's a lot of talk out there now about bipartisanship and solving problems. And goodness knows we need them to solve problems.
When they say those words, when those words come out of their mouths, do you think they actually believe we're so stupid as to think they're actually going to do that? I've become more cynical, and I don't think it's just because I'm an old guy. I used to be Pollyanna in pants, and you know, I played the glad game all the time, and I'm not hopeful about the leadership ability of our politicians. What do you think?
Well, I certainly understand why you'd feel that. I mean, they haven't done anything in quite a long time. But, you know, I think there's a sense, if only, that they got caught at it. I think they know the public is ticked. I mean, the do-nothing Congress, they've got this big label on their forehead.
Right.
It says do-nothing Congress. And if only for self-interest, because they want to get reelected, they have some need to take that label off.
So now, because the Republicans...
Can they? I don't know. You know what? I wouldn't say, you know, we'll be back here in 2 years and you'll be saying, oh, you're right, Tamar. But
yeah.
They have some incentive to do it. So you know, let's
well, but here's
them.
The problem. Here's the,
to their claims.
Here's the problem, though. The Republicans got tarred and feathered because they were in the leadership of the Do Nothing Congress. Now the Democrats, you know, they've chased this car and caught it. Now what do they do with it? And so... That now, I guess they want it to be this do something Congress, but are we going to like what they do? That's the problem. And with regard to immigration, which is your expertise, how big a deal was immigration how big a deal was it in causing the Republicans to lose control of Congress?
I think it was a big deal. I think it became synonymous with this label of Do Nothing Congress. It was the issue. They, you know, one of the big ones that the president teed up for them, and they took a run at it. And they couldn't solve.
Yeah.
And people, I think even if you don't care that much about immigration, which, you know, I understand there are a lot of people out there who may not vote on it. I think people said, well, gee, what's wrong with these bums? Why can't they solve anything?
Well, especially, like you say, the president, the Republicans actually were at odds with their own president, and this was a classic example of where the leadership had an opportunity to do something, and they punted.
And because, not because it was hard, which would be one thing, but because they thought that being obstructionists would get them reelected. And
yeah.
the public saw that. They saw that these guys were grandstanding on something and instead of solving it.
Well,
you know, the public's not as dumb as it looks. I mean,
I'll tell you another thing they did. They did the same thing on minimum wage. They teed up minimum wage and tried to use it as bait to draw the Democrats out. The Republicans did this to try to draw the Democrats out, and they put minimum wage on the table and in jeopardy, in my opinion, as a political a ploy. I mean, it was a game that they played, and I didn't appreciate that. As someone who does not want minimum wage increased, I didn't appreciate them doing that.
Yeah, no, I think the public is much more sophisticated about this than they understand. They think they can, you know, just use these things. They're not playing with children. The public sees that they're doing stuff for political advantage and they're not solving the problems, and the public doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think that's why, I think if you're halfway smart and you're a member of Congress, you see that now. And so
who are those people?
Well, that's going to be a good question.
Who are those halfway smart people? I'd like to know their names.
Fair enough. But let's give them a chance to emerge now.
Right.
I mean, I think immigration is one of those issues where the hard part, of course, is that if they solve it, for those people to solve it, they're going to have to be willing to share the credit, both share the credit and share the blame.
Yeah.
And going into one of the most contested presidential elections probably in our lifetime, it's going to be very hard to share the credit and the blame. The only good thing we've got going for us, again, is this public desire.
That's exactly, that's we the only people who can solve this, ladies and gentlemen, are you and me and Tamar, and we've got to send the message to both parties. Guys, we don't so much care what party you belong to. We just care that you're getting something done. What is it that we want to have done, Tamar, regard to immigration?
Yeah, I think it's what's been on the table for a couple of years now. Everybody from the president to Senator Kennedy is basically for it. I mean, that's a pretty broad swath of American politics.
That's right.
It's more visas for workers. We've got to have enough workers to keep the economy growing. You can't be in a situation. I had a meeting with a bunch of small businessmen the other day, which I almost couldn't believe. They're getting so angry at the lies that the system is making them tell. Mm-hmm. They can't get enough workers. They can't do it legally. To keep their businesses open, they've got to be breaking the law. And people are getting mad. So enough visas so people can keep growing their businesses. Much tougher enforcement. Right now, we have a nudge-nudge, wink-wink system.
Right.
Laws are unrealistic.
Even now, still.
Still, sure. There are 8 million people, workers, and, you know, close to that many, we're not close to that many, but a big number of millions of employers breaking the law every day. So much more realistic law, much tougher enforcement, and finally, you've got to do something about the 12 million illegal immigrants already here. You can't just pretend they don't exist. So you got to cover all three bases, and you got to give the 12 million away.
And the president actually handed the Republican leadership an opportunity to fix that, didn't he?
Yeah, it's a pretty good plan. It's a compromise plan. We're not giving anybody automatic citizenship. We're making them jump through a lot of hoops.
Stand by, Tamar. Folks, as you know, I predicted that the Democrats would raise minimum wage within the next 30 days, and the president will sign it. I'm going to ask Tamar when we come back, what's that going to do to illegal immigration? Is it going to increase the folks coming across the border? Stand by, 20 after. We'll be right back. Little Jimmy for you there. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog when you get there, and lots of other things and more to come. I promise you, some exciting stuff coming up. It's also very exciting to have our good friend Tamar Jacoby back on the show. Tamar is senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She's the editor of the outstanding book, Reinventing the Melting Pot, The New Immigrants and What It Means to America. Tamar, tell us where we can find your book, please.
At Amazon.com or at the Manhattan Institute, which is manhattan-institute.org.
Probably 25 or 30 of the smartest minds in socioeconomic and immigration minds in the world are contributing to this book. And Tamar, congratulations again. Folks, check it out. It's called Reinventing the Melting Pot. If you really want to know about what's going on, either short of the weeds or over in the weeds, this book will help you with that. Tamar, people have been risking their lives, literally, and certainly their freedom, and so much, and sacrificing so much to come to America to work to make $5.15 an hour. The Democrats want to raise minimum wage to 7.25. And in my 2007 predictions, I predicted that they would actually do that and the president would sign it in this month before February, and I believe that's going to. I believe that's going to happen.
I agree with you. I don't think there's even going to be much of a fight.
No. He's
coming, and they've kind of given in.
The president's he's rolled over before they've even come to him with it. But here's my question: if people would risk their lives and so much sacrifice, 12 million of them to make $5.15 an hour, and I know some of them make more, folks, but when they come across the border, that's all they're expecting. What are they going to do for $7.25? Is that not? Yeah. Have you ever heard anybody else ask that question?
No, it's a good question. But there are a couple things. I mean, first of all, it's going to have a bad effect in the same way it's going to have a bad effect on other workers. There's some people who just aren't, especially people who are just arriving, who aren't productive enough to make $7.25. So
that's been my argument against the raise from the beginning. But it's still going to be the law.
It's still, yeah, but so they're going to be, that's going to be some incentive for people to work off the books, or for the newly arrived, it's going to be harder for them to get work. But the truth is, I would argue that the majority, even of illegal immigrants now, are making quite a bit more than the minimum wage.
Yeah.
They are working in situations where Americans really are not available to do the work, and that has bid the wages up. And they're also working in more, they're working in construction and in the higher ends of hospitality. So the number I've seen and I use is that the average wage of illegal immigrants is $9 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a misunderstanding.
Which your argument, your fact there proves my point, and that's that raising minimum wage is not even necessary.
Well, there you go. Absolutely.
That's been my point all along.
I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
I mean, let's let the market decide this.
That's right.
Not even a question.
Mm-mm. So what do you think is going to happen? Look into your magic crystal ball there tomorrow and tell us what's going to happen with immigration in 07.
Well, we're going to make it. I can't tell you that the bottom line answer there, but we're going to make a very good run at it. Everybody's getting ready in the Senate and even the House. Both Democrats and Republicans who believe in reform are gearing up for battle and getting ready to try to pass a bill again. And, you know, what the misunderstanding is, the public thinks, oh, the Democrats are control now. It's going to be some, you know, excuse the phrase, but you know, commie lefty pinko bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be a liberal bill. It is going to still be a compromise up the center bill because the Democrats don't have enough votes to pass it by themselves. They're going to still need 20 Republicans in the Senate and probably 40 Republicans in the House. So it's going to be the mm-hmm. same kind of compromise center, you know, answer on immigration. And it's going to be a fight. And it's going to come down to a few votes probably in both chambers. It's going to be a similar bill to last year, some differences, but basically same architecture. And a hard fight, but we've got to get it done by, I say, the latest August of this year, because come August,
if it doesn't happen by August, it's not happening until 2009.
It's not going to happen.
Until 2009.
Exactly, because 2008 politics will take over come August, if not before.
Yeah.
And I think both parties have partisan reasons to not to want to get it done. You know, why should the Democrats give the Republicans a big victory like this, or shared victory? You know, wouldn't they rather watch John McCain and Mitt Romney or whoever it is scratch each other's eyes out over it? You know, and why should the Republicans vote for it and share credit with Democrats or give up what they perceive as some kind of partisan advantage among hardliners? So they both have an incentive not to do it. The only thing that's going to make them do it is, as you said before the break, if the public is clamoring loud enough, we want a solution.
Right. But what should the solution, in 1 minute, what should the solution be, according to President Mark Jacoby?
Well, thanks for the promotion. More visas for workers, tougher enforcement in the workplace and on the border, and some fair answer for the 12 million illegal immigrants already here.
We got to do something about that elephant in the living room, don't we?
We do.
And I say, you heard what I said before, we give them 6 months to identify themselves, we give them 3 years to become citizens, and we make them semi-legal until then, and if they don't become citizens in 3 years, then are moving toward that process, we send them back.
Yeah, I don't know if
no,
that's
no back taxes, no penalty. No back taxes, no penalty.
I don't know if that's practical, but we'll talk about it.
Well, we shall see. Well, you know, hey, let me ask you a question. Aren't your ideas better than the politicians' ideas?
Well, the politicians are getting there.
Because of people like you, Tamar, keep up the good work. Thank you for being here. Good job.
Thanks for having me.
Happy New Year. We'll see you next time. Quick break, right back with Janet Christie. We're going to talk about women business owners, one of my favorite topics.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.